Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 13th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Decatur, Love Waits Till the Last Minute. Local businesses welcome late Valentine's Day gift purchases. Christmas isn't the only holiday for last-minute gifts. Valentine's Day is popular for procrastinators, too. But that's okay, said Mesha Fields, owner of Sugarfix Designer Dessert Studio at 2950 North Water Street in Decatur. Like many businesses popular for Valentine's Day shopping, Sugarfix has prepared several sweet treats for the last-minute shopper. You can easily do a cute little dessert box, Fields said. More than a dozen Svensson's floral designers have been preparing for the upcoming holiday at the shop at 2702 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive in Decatur. According to owner Melissa Case, Mother's Day is the only holiday that keeps the designers as busy as Valentine's Day. However, customers are willing to send Mother's Day gifts several days before the May holiday. Case said, making the world work a bit easier. For Valentine's Day, the expectation is that day. That puts a little more pressure on us, she added. For Mother's Day, our customers are a little bit more forgiving. To add more stress to the holiday, Valentine's Day lands on a Saturday in 2026. This year, we've seen a lot more go out the day before so they can be delivered to the workplace, Case said. That way, they have the big show at work. Delivery drivers don't mind the Friday drop-off either. It's easier to deliver sometimes to an office or a workplace than it is to catch somebody at home, said Cindy Dedrick, the owner of the party shop at 411 North Main Street, in Decatur. The day before Valentine's Day is also popular for celebrating Galentine's Day, the friend's alternative to the romantic holiday. A lot of girls will have a night with their girlfriends, and they get a dozen cupcakes or something like that, Fields said. The businesses popular for Valentine's Day gifts have plenty of orders ready for Saturday deliveries as well. Many have extended their hours to accommodate those last-minute shoppers. Each has a special display stocked with traditional Valentine's Day items, such as roses. Svensson's has two floral designers dedicated to restocking the refrigerator with fresh bouquets. Some of the more popular flowers have been lilies, hydrangeas, and daisies. And there's a lot that like carnations, too, Case said. But roses are still the number one seller. For those who can't decide on flowers or candy, Sugarfix has you covered. We're going to have cookie bouquets, cupcake bouquets, chocolate-covered strawberries, mini cakes. We're even going to have ooey-gooey butter cakes in the shape of a heart, Fields said. The Sugarfix staff have been preparing for Valentine's Day with teasers on its Facebook page. Every day we'll have something different, she said about the posts. You can pre-order that day for pickup for the next day. The staff at the party shop has been decked out for Valentine's Day for several weeks. Grab-and-go balloons, candies, cards, and other items will be available on Saturday. However, the downtown Decatur shop is popular for its variety of balloons. A lot of people do love balloons because they last a long time, Dedrick said. There's a lot of different themes and colors. There's balloon bouquets, bubble balloons, and we could put balloons inside of balloons. And the photos here on page A6 show Gina Fitzgerald adding wire to rose stems while Berkeley Armory designs an arrangement at Svensson Florist in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. And the two women look busy. The bouquet is almost finished, it looks like. And the table in front of them is full of flowers and paper. And a smaller picture shows Emily Quick gathering an order of cupcakes for a customer at Sugarfix. Designer Dessert Studio in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. And then there's a close-up of owner Mesha Fields displays the Valentine's Day offerings at Sugar Fix, Designer Dessert Studio in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. And those things are little heart-shaped candy holders with a clear heart-shaped covering on them. Another one is a box that says Happy Valentine's Day, a candy box. And then there's a French fry-looking thing that says, you're the one, I think, fry-tastic teacher. So it looks like some French fries, and I don't know, it must be candy, looking like a French fry container. And then a rectangular box with a ribbon. So lots of choices here. On the front page, the large picture shows Jane Svensson, along with a large crew, readies Valentine's Day bouquets at Svensson Florist in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. And Miss Svensson has a beautiful red sweater on, and looks like an apron over her sweater, and a bouquet of roses, carnations, hydrangeas, and there's someone in the background doing a bouquet with yellow roses, and someone else's back is turned to us, but it looks like in the background there's lots and lots of bouquets of flowers getting ready for Valentine's Day. Also on the front page, Macon County, fire crews granted $150,000. Howard Buffett donation funds new equipment, training in area districts. Fire chiefs from all the Macon County fire districts were invited to attend the Macon County board meeting on Wednesday without knowing why their presence was requested. They found out when board chairman Kevin Greenfield announced that the Howard G. Buffett Foundation has pledged to donate $150,000 to each department to bolster their budgets for new and updated equipment and training. Mr. Buffett contacted us and wanted to do something for the rural fire districts and Decatur as well, Field said. Each of the fire districts in Macon County will receive $150,000. Sorry, it's a big difference. $150,000. And some fire districts that are outside of Macon County but still come into Macon County to provide assistance when necessary, they'll receive some money as well. I can't say enough good things about Mr. Buffett. He probably does more for this community than anybody I can imagine and just continues to keep doing it. Buffett has a special place in his heart for first responders, Greenfield said. If you think about it, drop him a card and tell him thank you, Greenfield said. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. In a statement provided to the Herald and Review after the announcement, Buffett said, "Our firefighters put their lives on the line every day to protect our community, and it's an honor to have the privilege to support the brave men and women of Macon County." The boost in funding will be welcome, said Decatur Chief Neil Elder. "It's outstanding and generous," Elder said, "and thanks Howard Buffett and his foundation, of course. As Greenfield said, he's got a special place in his heart for us, and he knows that budgets are tight right now, especially with the volunteer agencies trying to recruit in firefighters. It will help a lot with that and with the equipment they need." Decatur Fire Department had a budget cut recently, Elder said, and that money will help the department get some important equipment. It will help the rural departments especially to help update some equipment and make sure our firefighters are well taken care of with safe, updated equipment and for training for them and many other items that are allowed under the constraints of the donation. Excuse me. The Mount Zion Chief said Mount Zion Chief Mark Wright, "We're grateful to Mr. Buffett and we're grateful to the county board who helped us to get this." Harristown Fire Chief Mark Nixon echoed the financial and staffing challenges facing departments and the much-needed relief the grant will provide. He noted the rising costs for equipment and the need to keep firefighters well trained. With that in mind, he suspects the windfall will help the construction of a training building for his department. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who doesn't normally attend the county board meeting, attended this time to hear the announcement. "What a great gift from Mr. Buffett," she said. "He supports our first responders, and that's amazing." Buffett, who served for a time as Macon County Sheriff, has supported first responders in a variety of ways over the years through his funding of equipment, services, and facilities. Among the more visible projects was the construction of the Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center, a state-certified basic law enforcement and basic corrections training academy. The campus, located on the south side of Decatur, also houses the Illinois State Police Decatur Forensic Science Laboratory, an effort to reduce the backlog of DNA testing in the state, and the Central Illinois Regional Dispatch Center, a call center that serves Decatur police and fire departments, Macon County Sheriff's Office, and other agencies. The foundation gave a $2.3 million grant to support the Jerry J. Dawson Civic Leadership Institute. The goal of the institute is to provide Decatur Public School students programs to raise awareness and encourage careers in public service. Law enforcement, nursing, paramedic, firefighting, government service, and the law. And the photo here on this page is Blue Mound Fire Chief Brian Van, Van Skyak receives an envelope from Macon County Administrator Tammy Wilcox with details about the $150,000 donation his department and others in Macon County will receive from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. And the fire chief is standing next to another person there, and there are several people in the background. Ms. Wilcox has other, it's a yellow folder she's handing him. She has other yellow folders in her hand, presumably to hand out to other recipients of the $150,000 donation from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. In local news on page A2, Mount Zion Enterprise Zone expansion sought for housing. An expansion of the Enterprise Zone in Mount Zion will allow for a 28-unit multifamily housing development. A resolution to expand the zone to include community parkway in the area of the Mount Zion Convention Center was approved Wednesday by the Macon County Board. Mount Zion and Forsyth Village Boards have approved the expansion, with Decatur City Council due to consider approval on February 17th. And Long Creek Village Board to consider it on February 23rd. All those entities have to approve the expansion before the project can go forward. An enterprise zone is an economic development tool that exempts properties within from paying state sales tax on construction costs and the state utility tax for electricity and natural gas. Other benefits can include property tax abatements. Nicole Bateman, president of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur in Macon County, said that the area needs an additional 600 units to relieve the current housing shortage. If the expansion is approved and the project goes forward, the apartments and townhouses will rent for an average of $2,000 per month each, Bateman said. And the hope is that they will fill up quickly, which is what she expects to happen. It will encourage other developers to build units too. Another development on the corner of Baltimore Avenue and Harryland Road filled up almost instantly. And she thinks the same thing will happen with this one. The 8 units on Baltimore and Harryland, named Baltimore Place, are spacious units with multiple bedrooms and garages finished in the fall and already all leased, she said. Another development on the east side of Baltimore along Kays Court is also filling up fast. To get more investment in the area, there had to be someone who would take the first jump, she said. For young families or professionals who are new to the area and haven't yet decided where they want to settle, renting is preferable to buying a home, she said, and they're willing to pay those higher rents to get the kind of home they want. We know we can support it, she said. Once we get 50 or more under our belt, then we can look at, perhaps, bigger complexes. Now let's turn to asking Eric for advice. Husband's childhood friends pull him away from family. Dear Eric, my significant other and I have been together 10 years now. Lately, since he reconnected with childhood friends, we stopped doing things together. We stopped doing things as a family. We have children. He is with them all of the time. I expressed how I felt and gave suggestions on how we can balance and improve, but he only gets defensive. I feel like I should walk away at this point. He's 48, I'm 37. How do I deal with this? Signed, no family time. Short of walking away, counseling is an option. It sounds like you've tried proactive solutions like trying to calendar together. The way we spend our time is a reflection of what we value. If we're getting defensive when you point out, if he's getting defensive when you point out his values are how his values are coming across to you, a counselor may be able to break through and clear the air. You shouldn't have to beg for his attention, though. He has responsibilities to the family, and your marriage won't flourish without quality time. He needs to rethink his choices. My mother is 88, and recently, dear Eric, a new letter. My mother is 88 and recently entered a nursing home. She's not been diagnosed with any specific mental deterioration, but has become very forgetful. The problem is she is a voracious gossip. She's always had a proclivity towards spreading gossip, but she seems to be getting worse, and I'm finding it almost impossible to listen to her. I try to steer our conversations toward positive things, but she seems to have about a two-sentence tolerance before she launches into something scathing. It doesn't seem to matter who the person is. My brothers, sister-in-law, her grandchildren, my aunts and uncles, friends, neighbors, everyone is fair game for her vicious tongue. More and more frequently, I do not take her incoming calls, and when I do, I end the call when I can no longer bear her negativity about our family. She's driving wedges between all of us and destroying the family. She is not open to even mild criticism and has no ability to self-evaluate. One of her granddaughters confronted her, and that granddaughter is now persona non grata, never to be forgiven. What can I do, short of blocking her phone number and waiting for the funeral? Oh dear. Gossip, signed, gossip gets my goat. Dear gossip, if you ever consent to talk to her doctors or care team, you might ask if the worsening gossip could be attributed to her memory issues and if there are ways to address it. But even if there are ways of staunching the tide of negativity, it seems this proclivity is a core part of who she is. When a loved one's habits or personality quirks bump up against our values, we have to set internal boundaries to preserve the relationship. It sounds like you're doing that already by getting off the phone when you can't take it anymore. But the next step might be saying something directly, even at the risk of inciting her anger. Mom, I don't like hearing this kind of negative talk, and it makes me uncomfortable. I want to listen to you, but I can't do that if we can't find something else to talk about. A statement like that is fair and clear and, importantly, resets the bounds of the relationship on your side. It's up to her whether she's going to honor those bounds or not. Judging from her response to her granddaughter, she may not. But if that's a consequence she chooses, she brings on it on herself. If you aren't upfront about what you need, her behavior is going to cause deep resentment. I know you're trying to avoid conflict, but think of it this way. You're already in conflict. By speaking your mind, you take a step on the path to resolving said conflict. It's up to her to join you. Dear Eric, I have a friend, neighbor, who moved in across the street in January 2014. We see each other often at my house or hers and go out to dinner about once a month. She's never acknowledged my birthday. I don't expect a gift, dinner, or even a card. Just say, happy birthday. This past July marks the 12th one with no greetings. Do you find this odd? By the way, I always remember her birthday. Signed, unhappy birthday. Dear birthday, I can't help but wonder if she has your birthday written down. It's been going on so long, maybe she doesn't know when your birthday is. Or maybe she's not thoughtful in the way that you're thoughtful. Maybe she's thoughtful in other ways. There's no reason to stew over this for 12 years. If it's important to you, it's fine to say, today is my birthday. Would you like to wish me happy birthday? Today in history. On this date, in 1935, a jury in Flemington, New Jersey, found Bruno Richard Hauptmann guilty of first-degree murder in the kidnap slaying of Charles A. Lindbergh, Jr., the 20-month-old son of Charles and Anne Morrow Lindbergh. Hauptmann was executed the following year. In 1945, Allied forces in World War II began a 3-day bombing raid on Dresden, Germany, killing as many as 25,000 people and triggering a firestorm that swept through the city center. In 1965, during the Vietnam War, President Lyndon B. Johnson authorized Operation Rolling Thunder, an extended bombing campaign against the North Vietnamese. In 1996, the rock musical Rent by Jonathan Larson premiered off-Broadway less than 3 weeks after Larson's death. In 2016, Justice Antonin Scalia, the influential conservative member of the U.S. Supreme Court, was found dead at a private residence in the Big Bend area of West Texas. He was 79. In 2021, Donald Trump was acquitted by the Senate at his second impeachment trial, the first to involve a former president, in which he was accused of inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. 7 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats in voting to convict less than the 2/3 threshold required. More advice from Hints from Heloise, using shower caps when gardening. Dear Heloise, here's an idea I've benefited from for years. Whenever I stay in a hotel, I save the shower caps that are usually provided for free. Because I garden, I regularly track in grass clippings and dirt on my shoes. Putting the shower caps over my shoes when I go outside prevents this. I keep the shower caps near my door so that I can pull them on and off as needed. This really helps to keep my feet, my floor clean. A word of warning, though, if it's icy or snowy, don't do this. Too slippery. Signed, Robin W. via email. Robin, I use them when I put a 30-minute conditioner in my hair. It saves me from washing an extra bath towel. They fit snugly and keep water from dripping all over me and the floor. The heat from my body helps the conditioner soak into each strand of hair. Signed, Heloise. Bag it. Sheet sets come in lovely matching fabric sacks with smaller ones for pillowcase sets. It bothers me to see them unused. Do any of your readers have suggestions for reuses? No way am I a good enough folder to get the sheets back in them. Signed, Elaine F. via email. Elaine, I use them to store items such as delicate Christmas ornaments that you have already wrapped in a couple layers of tissue. You also can reuse it as a gift wrapping, especially for awkwardly shaped items, or to store linens inside. Well, readers, do you have any hints on how to reuse pretty cloth bags? Let us know at heloise@heloise.com. Signed, Heloise. That's a lot of Heloises. winter squash. We love winter squashes, but they can be hard to cut open. I have found that using a simple, inexpensive pumpkin carving tool works great. I saw with it on the hard skin until I get to the softer flesh. Then I use the tool to saw down one side and then the other so that the squash is cut in half. It makes a formerly easy job, tough job easy, and there is no danger of cutting myself. Signed, Patricia in Boston, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana. AM or PM, dear Heloise. I just read that the hint about labeling prescription bottles with the first two or three letters of the prescription. My suggestion is to write in big black letters AM on the prescriptions that you take in the morning and PM for the prescriptions you take in the evening. For pills that you take both in the AM and PM, you can write both AM and PM on the pill bottle. For prescriptions you take at noon, you could write noon on the pill bottle. By identifying when I take the prescriptions and not the name, it makes filling my weekly pill cases faster. If you keep your pill bottles out on the counter, you can turn them upside down after you've taken the pills for that day. I keep my pill bottles laying on their side in a drawer with the AM and the PM markings visible. I take the morning pills out when filling the pill case and put the bottle back in the drawer after filling the pill case. LS in San Diego. LS, I often write 2 a.m. or 1 p.m. on the bottles. This tells me I have two pills to take in the morning and one pill to take at night. Knowing the correct dosage is important, too. And this is a little something from my pet world, unconditional love. Valentine's Day tends to come with a lot of expectations. There are the cards, flowers, the chocolates, the pressure to plan something meaningful, romantic, and ideally Instagram worthy, but if you live with pets, you already know something important. You wake up every day with a creature who thinks you are the greatest love of their life. Pets are, in many ways, the ultimate Valentines. They don't care if you're wearing sweatpants. They don't judge your hair choices. They are thrilled to see you, even if you were only gone for 3 minutes to take out the trash. Try getting that level of devotion from a human admirer. Dogs greet us like we've returned from war. Cats pretend not to care until we sit down and then suddenly they're in our lap, on our keyboard, and possibly on our face. Both greet us with hopeful eyes and the unspoken question, is that food? It's all love, just delivered in different packaging. Valentine's Day can be a wonderful reminder that love doesn't have to look like roses and candlelight. Sometimes love looks like a dog pressing their head into your leg because they want to be close. Sometimes it looks like a cat choosing your lap for every other available surface in the room. Sometimes it looks like muddy paw print, chewed shoes, and fur on everything you own. If you're celebrating with a partner, a family, friends, or flying solo this Valentine's Day, consider adding a pet to the mix. Show you love them by taking them on a long walk, adding a few extra minutes of belly rubs or chin scratches. Give them a new toy or pet treat. And if this day feels a little heavy for you, that's okay too. Your pet doesn't need you to be cheerful or put together. They just need you to be present, which, when you think about it, is what love is supposed to be anyway. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 13th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.